always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to this Laker early episode of the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined as usually, like at least once a week or so, by Harrison Fagan of SB Nation. Harrison, thank you very much for hopping on early on this fine now Wednesday morning. How you holding up, bud?
You know, apparently not that well, because as I was telling you before I went live, the reason we're about 10 minutes later than we planned to be was because I was like, you know, I need some coffee. Let me make it really quick before we get on air. And I did everything but put the grounds in. So I just made really hot, like, you know, water and had to
like,
remake
I guess filtered water, like extra filtered water.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I did filter the water. So it's like it's twice filtered coffee now. It's fancy.
I think Starbucks would charge you $7 for that.
They'd charge me $7 even if it wasn't twice filtered. They, you know,
yeah.
It's like
how much is a cup of coffee like at
Starbucks?
Like, just like if you just get like a cup of black coffee.
Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't ruin a potential sponsorship. We'll just say at unnamed coffee shops across the world. The unnamed coffee shop that is a famous brand that was in my hotel lobby, it was $10 for a cold brew in Vegas. Yeah.
Well, Vegas prices are just insane.
Like, yeah.
It was $8 for a bottle of smart water. $8. I'd rather dehydrate water. The tap water. I'm just drinking it out of the. Yeah.
In one place in Vegas, they were charging $1 for water cups in the casino. And I was
They don't want you drinking water. I was talking to Jen about that. She was like, you would think they would want you drinking water. I was like, no, they want you liquored up so you make the dumbest decisions you can.
Yeah.
Anyway. Today on the show, I've had this idea or you and I didn't record an episode last week, Harrison, and I've had this idea kind of bouncing around in my head, and I was reluctant to talk about it last week because that was still like while everybody was kind of making their free agency decisions that LeBron hadn't made his yet, but now we're a week removed from that, and I'm like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. And now I'm wondering like – And I think there's several factors at play here, but the thing that I kind of wanted to like bounce off of you is whether LeBron and Rich Paul and Clutch like dragging this out to the extent that they have kind of proves the Lakers somewhat correct to be ready, like for them to have arrived at a place where they were just like so sick of it that they were ready to move on. And so like that's going to be kind of the starting point of it. And again, like there's several factors at play here. One of them being like I found myself wondering this morning if LeBron is invested in Kalshi or Poly Market because they are like two of the biggest winners from him waiting as long as he has. So anyway, we'll talk about that. The Lakers are apparently looking to add another big to their roster, even though they currently sit one, they have too many players on their roster right now. And this is on top of their search for their starting power forward. So I think there's some like interesting things maybe going on there. We did get Brian Walters in here already asking if we saw the Heat leak. Did you see that aspect of the LeBron story?
That was very funny.
Yeah. Did you see that they were fired? That there are two LinkedIn posts that the Heat made? I saw that this morning.
Okay, I did see that, and I was like, I don't know if this is one of the fake NBA Central things, really, because I very briefly saw it before we were getting on here, and I didn't like go to check it, like, is this the real NBA Central? Or, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say anyone deserved to be fired, but it is like, it is very funny timing to be like, hey, we had this like really, really public YouTube mishap last night. And then they're like, oh yeah, that just reminds us. We got to hire a director of YouTube strategy. Like,
or they had one and they fired that person. And then
now I feel like you wouldn't get the job posting that turned around that quickly though.
I mean, they need somebody in place just in case they
just
they,
in case like, there is a LeBron press conference.
There is a, like, yeah. I agree also with Brian Walters, who was telling everybody to smash. He said smash, but smash that like button as well. And that is that serves me up the reminder to get to the homework for this stuff. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Also, if you guys are listening to the show via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere is perfectly fine by me. Today's show is brought to you in YouTube form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of free Prize Picks lineups. When you sign up, use that promo code and win that first lineup. Yesterday, I told you guys just place that lineup or replace that $5 price pick selection on something super conservative like Shohei Ohtani getting on base. Guess what he did yesterday, Harrison? He got on base.
Got on base. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you know, anybody who listened to me would have won $150.
Yeah, do you also point out when you give them tips that lose them money? Like if you had said, like, Shohei Ohtani not going to play.
Oh yeah, no, I hopped on here one time super angry at the Spanish national team during the World Cup because I said, nice conservative bet, them winning that first match, and then they drew that first match, and those assholes.
Okay, well, as long as you're keeping a ledger and telling the people as well when you lose them money.
You know, that's actually something that these companies are like advising us to do, like, because they don't want it makes sense. Like, they don't want to be sued over those of us who talk on their behalf, speak on their behalf, only pretending we only ever win. Right. Yeah. So kind of makes sense. So anyway, let's go ahead and dive on in, Harrison. Were the Lakers right to move on from LeBron based on the fact that he is still? Yeah, like Rich Paul's out there saying, oh yeah, we still haven't made a decision. Fuck off.
The quote where he said that he had made a decision and then LeBron called him and said, hold on, we're back to the drawing board, real?
I don't know. I hate that podcast. Can I just say, I hate that podcast. I hate everything about that podcast. I hate that Max Kellerman gets on there and tries to say super smart things on Rich Paul's behalf. I hate all of the smoozing and smarminess over it and all of the ass kicking because Rich Paul was smart enough to grow up close to LeBron James. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Anyway,
he only met LeBron like in high school. I think LeBron was already like sort of he was not part of the LeBron childhood friend group. He was he met him at the airport and sold him, I think, a Warren Moon jersey, if I'm remembering correctly. As to your original question, I just want to clarify to everyone that, as usual, Anthony did not tell me any of the plan for the podcast before I got on here. So I got on here and I saw this is part of why the Lakers were ready to move on. And then I had mentions in my notifications that were like, coming up with Harrison Fagan, were the Lakers right to move on from LeBron because he's a diva who takes too long? And I was like, oh, cool. It's going to be like a fun day in my notifications. Appreciate that, Anthony. I disagree with the premise just because I think if you flip it around and you were to say, you know, is LeBron right to move on because the Lakers like weren't willing to, like, are the Lakers a bad fit for LeBron? Then could the Lakers not use LeBron? I would say absolutely not. He would be the starting power forward on this roster, and that would be much better than their current plan of, like, you know, I think penciled in, they just have like Jonathan Kuminga maybe, and it just says question mark. LeBron. I'm willing to say it. LeBron's still better than Jonathan Kuminga, even at his advanced age.
No, look, he's better than Jonathan Kuminga, maybe.
He's definitely better than Jonathan Kuminga, maybe. But he's also better than Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah, we got him. He's people are starting power forward. Yes.
Right now on their depth chart, it says Jonathan Kuminga question mark, and then maybe in like a week or so it'll say like Jonathan Kuminga exclamation mark.
Yeah,
and then like midway through the season it'll be like Jonathan Kuminga dot dot dot.
It'll say Jonathan and then like a bunch of like those stars to indicate cursing. Yeah, yeah. And then Kuminga. Yeah. Jonathan effing Kuminga.
Once they steal the food from the family like media room or whatever, it'll be like fucking Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, LeBron doesn't have his family steal food from the family room. He just gets them on the team. They don't have to steal. It's just that's
Bonnie's they food become too. They become a line item in the expense account.
Yeah, you can write it off then. That's very important. But I was just gonna say I disagree, just because the LeBron is still so much better than what their current plan is. Like, it would be one thing if they had filled the slot, and then you could sort of like, you know, if you really wanted to be, you know, Team Lakers, whatever, you could be like, yeah, this is why they moved on from him. He's annoying to deal with, and you know, whatever. But right now, they don't have a replacement for him, and he would be so much better than any of their replacement plans that I'm like, you know, if he wants to take LeBron could take until September to decide right now. Like for me, if I'm the Lakers, you know?
Yeah.
And he's willing to take the minimum. For the minimum, if you're LeBron, you could sign with me in December. I'm okay with that. You know, and so that's where I disagree with the premise, is just because like it would be one thing if they were like, hey, they used all this cap space effectively and they went out and they replaced LeBron and they upgraded other positions. And, you know, this is why they had to do it. But right now it's like, yeah, they did upgrade other positions, but there's still a gigantic hole where he was. And if he's willing to take the minimum for other teams, it would be nice to have him back, or at least if, like, you know, have those meetings that where you spent 80 hours trying to figure out how to talk to him, like, result in an actual conversation.
So this is one of those situations where, like, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, Harrison, because I feel like I am like by nature pessimistic. So I will grant like the audience that, you know, my nitpicking and annoying habit of like seeing the negative in what the Lakers are getting ready or thinking about doing. That's just kind of like part of who I am. I'm a cynic by nature, but also it's my job as host on here to ask questions, right? To spur conversation. And this is one of those times where I'm legitimately asking the question because I'm curious about it. I don't think there's a world where, from a basketball standpoint, the Lakers will be proven wrong to piss off LeBron James to such an extent that he wants to go play on a minimum contract anywhere other than the Lakers and, I guess, technically the Celtics. Right? There is no world where that, like, where Clippers, like, that is.
I think Clippers were ruled out. I think Clippers were ruled out pretty quickly, which is crazy. Even in his, like, the town he wants to stay in, he's still like,
nah. Yeah,
like I see far enough ahead to know that jersey is going to get used against me at some point.
Right. So I guess, like, when I ask this question, because I already see like Sports Bible 98. F off. He's 41 at the end. It's not simple to uproot yourself and family after 8 years. It's like, it's a lot easier for a billionaire to do it, who has like the resources to just fly home whenever he wants, or fly his family out to see him whenever he wants or they want or whatever. But also, like, I just don't think that they're, because this is something that the Lakers internally, I think, truly believe, is that they're watching all of this play out right now and they're saying, see what we don't have to deal with anymore. And it's like, You know what I mean?
Meanwhile, they're playing the waiting game on Jonathan Kuminga.
on Jonathan Kuminga. Yes, like that's
what I'm saying.
So this is,
you know, they're like, they're like, we would never let somebody hold up our whole summer like that. We just we just do our whole summer and then sit here and wait on Jonathan Kuminga. And then if not, right. Jake LaRavia, starter.
Yeah. And so it's like, so I like, this is part of why I'm asking.
We would never grovel at the feet of LeBron. We'd grovel at the feet to pay Jonathan Kuminga more than LeBron.
Although
and possibly give up draft picks to do it.
There's a non-zero chance that Kuminga signs at the minimum, I think, at this point.
I've been saying that since he started to become like talked about as an option for the Lakers. I was like, show me the team where he's getting significantly more than that. I don't see it.
Yeah, there's some Bucks buzz, but like that also involves Atlanta to like help get Kuminga there. And as we've seen with the Lakers, like they're asking a pretty heavy price to help get Kuminga somewhere. but yeah, like I asked this question today because I talked on the show a couple days ago about Kuminga and like the cost of working with talented people and how quickly like the more difficult you are when you are at your most desirable or your most perceived talented, right? Like when your talent is at its highest, your behavior then is often decides how quickly you fall off a map. You know what I mean? Where like Jonathan Kuminga only a couple of years ago was untouchable in trade negotiations for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Remember? Like that was a thing. You know, they didn't want to move him for extra
wide. I thought it was untouchable except for Giannis. I thought Giannis was like the only player.
Even if you want to say Lauri Markkanen, right? Who is significantly better at basketball than Jonathan Kuminga, right? Like, and by the way, had they just traded for Lauri Markkanen, they'd be in a much better spot than they are right now. The Warriors, that is, right? So with Jonathan Kuminga, he was so difficult at the time that he was preserved his most valuable that now you arrive here and the league is just going to spit him out on the other side of this. And he might be making the minimum after this season, right? Cam Reddish, another example of that, where this guy was a top 10 draft pick, and he was really difficult and did not want to improve, did not improve, and the league spat him out to a point where now, only a handful of years later, he was playing on the Orlando Magic Summer League team. And like your decline is also, or how quickly you fall off of that map is also the other key factor. Is how quickly you dissipate from that level of talent to whatever your next tier of talent is. And the thing with LeBron is he is still that good. Like I saw Kendrick Perkins was on ESPN this morning talking about how LeBron is still the top 10 player in this league. And the fact that I was like numbering out players. All right, wait, is he like, you know, and actually playing that out in my head, the fact that I'm even having that conversation with myself in my head indicates that LeBron's still really effing good. And so like this notion and this hubris that we've seen from the Lakers where they basically said like, oh yeah, we aren't ever going to reach out to LeBron in free agency, even though we had meeting after meeting after meeting on how to have that conversation with LeBron James. Like there is no proving them wrong on their handling of that situation. And yeah, like, yes, LeBron is a bit of a diva. Yes, he is an only child who always makes the media cycle somehow about him. Yes, but sometimes you deal with that with really talented people. Sometimes you deal with a bit of a headache to continue to employ a LeBron James. And the fact that the Lakers got so sick of it that they basically told this guy to go away for nothing is going to cost them the opportunity to have him potentially at an insanely valuable contract. And that's the part of this that like, yeah, I'm asking the question, but I don't think there is a way to frame this in a way that looks like that shines a positive light on the Lakers.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Tim McMahon from ESPN has a great saying that he talks about, the pain in the ass to production ratio, where, you know, you can be a pain in the ass if your production is higher than the amount of pain in the ass you are causing. But, you know, as soon as that production drops below, then, you know, then like you're going to be moved on from pretty quickly. Like you were talking about, with, you know, like, I mean, really, we've seen the league with Kuminga sort of move on.
Yeah. It's,
you know, like a couple of years ago, if he would have been an unrestricted free agent, there would be teams lining up to try and pay him and buy low on him. And you know, LeBron, at the minimum, there's a pretty high, you got to be a real pain in the ass to not be worth the production ratio that you're giving up on that. And LeBron is not that, you know. LeBron is like, is he a little dramatic? Yeah. But like, if that's the worst thing that you can say about him, and like, it basically is, then I think, you know, he at the minimum, like at really even at a bigger contract than that, but especially at the minimum where you don't even have to do anything to have room to add him on your roster, you know, after all the moves that you made, that like he would have to be a real pain in the ass and much higher than he actually is for the Lakers to be like, quote unquote, vindicated on, you know, just like bungling this. And I, you know, I do want to say, like, I understand that if you're Rob Pelinka and like the Lakers brain trust and your job is to build the team, and you can make the argument like, hey, you know, this is Luka's team now. It was never going to be Luka's team until LeBron was gone. Like that was always going to be sort of not even awkward, bad locker room dynamic. It's just like, if LeBron's there, people are always going to look to LeBron as the leader. That it's not, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're Luka, it doesn't matter who else you are. Like LeBron is, they call him the king, you know, and like he's been around, like all these guys grew up, they're playing with him, grew up watching him, you know, of course they're gonna defer to LeBron and look to have him,
including Luka, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. And like that's human nature. So I understand that part of it, but you know, just because something is difficult doesn't mean you get to just say, well, we're just not going to do it. And, you know, I just feel like that's how the Lakers talk about the LeBron-Luka dynamic of like, well, you know, we were never going to be able to empower Luka while LeBron was here. It's like, okay, like LeBron's still really good though, you know? And like, could you try? Instead of just like saying it's never going to happen. And, you know, I feel the same way about like the extension stuff where they're like, well, you know, the Lakers, they spent weeks locked in a room, you know, talking about how do they approach LeBron on, you know, without making him feel disrespected. And they decided, they were like, well, we're just not going to approach him. And I understand that you are like, you sort of being like, this is going to be a hard needle to thread to make him feel like we aren't just telling him like, hey, like, you know, we'll have you back, but only at a steep discount and way less than you've ever paid for. And no, but we still value you. I understand that's a difficult conversation to have, but that's why you were paid as the general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, is to have those conversations.
An agent, like they brought on an agent to be able to have those difficult conversations. You think the conversations between Jonathan Kuminga and his agent right now are fun?
You know, that may be a bad example. I think his agent said, he's like, hey, Jonathan, don't worry. They're going to cave any minute. Don't worry, buddy. It's going to be that $20 million sign and trade. It's coming any second. I could feel it.
Well, that's just lying.
as soon as the league realizes how much of a bucket you are, you know, it's curtain.
No, I feel like we're taking
that offer.
I feel like the thing that like is going on there is that scene in every like scary movie where the main character's loved one is like being held hostage or something like that, and the bad guy looks to the main character and says like, go ahead, tell them it's going to be okay, lie to them, and then they off the person, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what's going on here with Kuminga and his agent, where he's like lying to him. He's just like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. We're doing great. We're
Did you
doing
hear Kuminga's
fantastic.
Agent on the Hoop Collective last year. I don't know if he's lying. I think he genuinely may be this delusional. You know, so yeah, that's why I'm saying it's a bad example.
Yeah, I
but I get what you're
and
saying.
And look, I also get this too, by the way, like, you know, Anthony Phillips, can we just move on from the LeBron James talk? And it's like, I get it. I've already started to notice it with Lakers fans on Kuminga, right? Where like after Brad and I recorded our episode yesterday, which you guys should check out. I thought it was really good and informative from the Hawks side of this too. But after we finished there, I was telling Brad how, like, yeah, I'm starting to get Lakers fans who are like, can we just move on from Kuminga? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of waiting for Jonathan Kuminga. And it's like, and it's this tendency. It's a very human nature tendency to break up with somebody before they break up with you. And with LeBron, like, that's essentially what I think a lot of Lakers fans had basically talked themselves into, is like, all right, the Lakers broke up with LeBron. I have to break up with LeBron. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But the reality is, this dude plays power forward, and the Lakers currently do not employ a starting caliber power forward. And this dude is going to sign at the veteran minimum with some team. And the Lakers, with LeBron James on the veteran minimum, would be a championship contender. I'm not kidding. An inner circle championship contender. OKC got worse. You could maybe make the argument that the Spurs maybe get a little bit better by way of, like, internal improvement. And then I guess, depending on how you feel about Tobias Harris, which, by the way, that was one of the funniest headlines I've seen ever in my life, was Spurs consider themselves okay from without LeBron James because they signed Tobias Harris. Amazing. But like, I like with where the Lakers stand right now. And again, I always ask myself, if the point is to win a championship, and the starting point to your offseason is telling LeBron James to fuck off, then, like, I'm sorry, you have a much steeper hill to climb without LeBron James on the team that you're trying to win a basketball championship with.